This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Thank you very much, Chris Villar. Great to hear from Austin Matthews. How come he didn't talk about leaving Connor McDavid wide open? I'm not bitter. Our telephone number is 248-539-9797. I got one other ticket text I want to read. A healthy hobby is our ticket to winning the whole thing. That's from Jamar in Westland.
A healthy hobby?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it certainly wouldn't hurt.
Breaking news. A ruling on the show has been made. Jamar is simply fake and a troll. There's no way the same Jamar could believe that Hennon Hooker should always replace Goff and that Javi can help.
Javi's
that
the key.
Person is fake. We always wondered, didn't we, John, on if Jamar and Westland, people have taken a love to him, kind of like a ticket text thing out there where
sure.
People comment on him all the time. I've always been puzzled if he's real or not.
He's certainly, well, he may be real. Somebody has to be doing it, but it's
AI.
Definitely.
AI.
Yeah. It's a sports radio AI app that's been created to just go to the contrary every time.
it's a troll that's doing it.
Yeah, and I would have guessed he was a troll because it just happened to, it was always Hooker was the answer no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, Jared Goff could have 5 touchdown passes and he'd still text in Hooker. And I was getting pretty, you know, I just couldn't quite nail it whether he was real or like it was a real take or just a trying to get a reaction take.
Yeah, no.
We know your bit. Your bit's up.
Asked, answered.
TTT, troll ticket text. All right. Tonight, Michigan takes on Michigan State at Chrysler. Michigan is leading the Big Ten. Both Michigan and Michigan State will make the NCAA tournament. The Pistons return to action tonight against the San Antonio Spurs with Al Wemby, who's out for the season with it's kind of like a blood clot, so to speak. And that sucks for basketball. I mean, he's one of the guys that people do want to watch, you know, either in person or on television.
Yeah.
And the Red Wings return to action tomorrow against the Minnesota Wild. So, right now, obviously, like I said, Michigan and Michigan State are going to be in the NCAA tournament. Right now, the Wings, I believe, are the second wild card, correct? And the Pistons are going into yesterday they were the sixth seed. So Milwaukee won, so they're still the sixth seed. All right, out of those four teams, 248-539-9797, who will have the best postseason and who will have the worst? John, you can start us off.
All right. I think, so if you're going to determine best postseason for Michigan, Michigan State, obviously we think both of them will be dancing. Mm-hmm. And is it simply getting from the field of 64 to 32, or is it getting to the Sweet 16?
Or is it winning the Big Ten Championship tournament, which is also part of the postseason?
Okay.
I'm just asking.
All right, yeah. If that's the best that one of the teams does, mm-hmm. is win a conference postseason tournament, mm-hmm. then it's been a very disappointing postseason.
Okay.
And so that's the question. Which one of those teams ends up going a little bit further? Wings, do they have enough points to actually get in? And what does that mean for them moving forward? And the Pistons, I think that the Pistons would absolutely, there'd have to be catastrophic injuries or maybe a catastrophic injury for them not to make the postseason. I think they are the most, in terms of the two professional teams, the biggest lock to get into the postseason, which seems amazing. But for, in terms of my comparison, is it for one of our college teams to get to the second weekend? Or is it the Pistons or the Wings to win a postseason series?
Right.
What's more likely? I think it's more likely that Michigan State makes it to the field of 16 than it is the Pistons or the Wings win a postseason series or that Michigan makes it. I just don't think Michigan, there's been too many times, and I know they are top of the Big Ten right now. Some big time matchups coming up. Number one of them's tonight. I just don't know that how much I trust them right now. I trust them to get a lead. Just not sure I trust them to hold on to that lead when it matters most in the postseason. And so I think it's Michigan State that ends up making the Sweet 16. They may go further, but that's them getting to the Sweet 16 to me seems much more of a quote-unquote lock than the Pistons winning a series, whoever that matchup might be, the Wings getting into the playoffs but winning a series. So I'd say Michigan State.
John, I'm going to agree with you.
Oh, wow.
Which I don't like to do, but I have to. And
a symbiotic show.
Yes. Part of that is they do have at least more NCAA tournament experience than Michigan, although it's not been great, obviously.
Sure.
Except for the head coach. And then again, who went to which coach went most recently went to a Final Four? It was Dusty May.
Yeah, but okay. Just not in Ann Arbor.
Right. If in Boca Raton.
Yeah, Dusty May. He also may not.
Exactly. The other thing, and you mentioned, you know, the fact that Michigan with the leads. Look, let's be honest. And look, we're just, you know, basically just making not ridiculous, but predictions. We have no idea who they're going to play. Everything, especially in the college basketball tournament, is about matchups. So if like Michigan is bracketed up against the teams that, you know, are smaller team, you know, size wise. Golden Wolf could have a field day. Same thing with Michigan State. Michigan State, they don't shoot the three really well. That's their biggest problem. Michigan turns the ball over too much, and they blow big leads. I think it's close, as we'll find out tonight, but I think Michigan State has they're a deeper team as well, so I think that's the one. And as far as the Wings, I still don't, even though they're in there today, I hate playing schedule game, but I will. They play Carolina three times. They play Vegas twice. They play at Washington twice. Their schedule is much harder than some of the other teams they're battling for that last wild card spot. So I'm going to say the Wings will be the most disappointing. The Pistons, because they are in the sixth seed right now, and let's say they end up sixth, they're going to play the Knicks in the first round. They got I'd be happy if they won a game and get the experience of playing a playoff game at the Garden. You know, that would be great.
Yeah.
That's all that's for.
Well, experience for either team.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's the Wings, and I think it's this. Jack and I were talking last night, and I, you know, came up with the whole, you know, the Tigers, Lions, they've all made the postseason in the last calendar year. It'd be the first time in my lifetime, probably in your lifetime too, Stoney, where all four teams within a calendar year could make the postseason.
Right.
And so the Wings are the likely candidate to be the one that would not come through.
Correct.
So certainly we're not going to pick them to have the postseason run at this point.
Right.
And some of it
although, John, in hockey, once you get in, you never know.
So that's the wild card.
Right.
Is anything can happen. You just need a seat at the table.
Right.
But I don't trust them, even though I know Todd McClellan, hey, it's been great. How do they come out tomorrow? Do they hit the ground running with these two games at home? And Dylan Larkin, you know, is he quote unquote tired? Mm-hmm. Is he, you know, is he rejuvenated because he's actually was playing for something? We saw the way that he played. Does that carry over? Does there a little bit of momentum that he brings as captain that takes this team to the next level? Is kind of the great mystery.
Minnesota has two guys, so they'll have two tired players. Boldy and Faber. And Boldy played a lot with Larkin, actually.
Right. But one of the things that we all recognized is that Dylan Larkin belonged, not only belonged, but excelled.
Yes. Absolutely.
And so, you know, is there something that clicked for him in terms of how motivated he is to bring that? And you would think that this Wings roster, with the guys that, you know, Kane, DeBrinket, all those guys that have experienced playoffs before, that this would be a major push. There's only 27 games left for either the Wings or the Pistons. 27 games. And so it's a sprint to the finish. Don't fall apart like you did last year. There's obviously not the big lead that they had last year, 9 points above the cut line last year, and it just dissipated.
248-539-9797. Who will have the best postseason out of Michigan, Michigan State basketball, Wings and Pistons, and who will have the worst? 97 won the ticket.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two, four, eight, five, three, nine, 97, 97. Wings, Pistons, Michigan, Michigan State, their basketball teams. Who will have the best postseason? Who will have the worst? We got some texts. I'm an MSU fan. I think they're one and done. They're such a bad team. They can't shoot the ball at all. Yeah, the three is a weakness. However, like I said before, it's all about matchups. If they, let's say they're a three seed or a four seed. Okay, let's say a four seed. And they're playing, you know, the 13 seed is a team who's a fast-breaking team or whatever, Michigan State will kill them because they're great in transition. Now, if they play a half-court team where they have to, you know, pass the ball around and then shoot threes, yeah, they will have trouble.
I agree with you on that. Like, because the thing is that Izzo is one of the best coaches in the country in terms of preparing for a tournament. So all you got to do is get the right matchup round one. His record speaks for itself in the second game, mm-hmm. round two, and then all of a sudden you're sitting in the Sweet 16, yeah. And it makes no sense, and you still haven't shot threes well.
Right.
I would say the thing with Michigan, Michigan State is the threes will get them eventually.
Yes.
It's not fixable.
I
believe the same thing with Michigan. The turnovers,
yeah.
and the lulls of you know, letting teams back into games will bite them against a great team.
If you don't address those early on in the season, and the turnover issue has been a turnover issue now through almost every game, if they're not fixed or addressed, and I'm not saying Dusty May hasn't tried to address it, but they're characteristics of players. And if they don't fix it, it's going to be something that holds you back when it matters most.
Now, the wild card, I think, with Michigan is I think somebody like Gale is a potential candidate to blossom here. He might be blossoming, and having what happened down in Columbus on Sunday could be a trigger for that to all of a sudden you get this you know, wild card March contributor, well, yeah, then that's something that could propel you maybe to a Final Four. But I'd be sure, I think these, both these teams' flaws are so significant that you might get a cute Sweet 16, mm-hmm, and then they'll show what they really are.
This could be the first year in a long time that all four of our professional sports franchises make the playoffs the same year. Throw in Michigan State and Michigan basketball, and it's a great time to be a sports fan in the state of Michigan. And I know we're not talking about college hockey, but Michigan State, number one team in the country, they have a really good chance to win. And Michigan is going to be on the bubble whether they get in the tournament or not.
Yeah, and both their baseball teams are good.
Jamar is actually Valenti. Jamar is actually Valenti messing with you guys. That's from Larry in Brooklyn. Nah. Breaking news: Jamar equals Rieger equals trolls. That's from Scott in Waterford. Jamar, you know, would be more like Rieger than Valenti.
Yeah, but I don't even think Rieger's that big of a troll. Like he's probably the biggest troll that we have. But I think Jamar is taking it to another level, okay, especially with the Hendon Hooker stuff.
I say this way. It could be Rieger just because, first off, it is a 734 area code. No.
the only mind that would work that way would be his.
It's a take that he knows even he couldn't get away with on the radio.
Yeah.
Because he did do a golf topic the other night.
That's why he's going with the ghost account.
Yeah. He could be doing things that he just knows they, in the end, he'd lose credibility.
The Wings and the Tigers will not make the playoffs. Okay. Hey, Stoney, eat a bag of Richards.
Oh, wow. Going full AB, right?
Hey.
The gummies? Wasn't he throwing those at... that was one of the things that he was arrested for. I think he was throwing a... He had a bag of gummy D's.
Let's go to Jeff. You're on 97 on the ticket. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I wanted to chime in there. I think out of the four teams, because of the logjam in the NHL between 7th seed and the 12th seed, they're all within like 5 points. So to get in, you got to be playing some really good hockey. So I think if the Wings can get in, the momentum that they would have had to end the season, I think you put them in a 7-game series. I think they have the potential to go the furthest rather than, I mean, the Pistons, all they have to do is play 500 ball the rest of the way, and they're still going to be most likely a 6th seed or a 7th seed. So, and then just based on how many rounds the college teams have to do to get to the end, I think the Wings can do the best out of the four.
Wow. And also, you have to realize, Jeff, there's still a trade deadline 2 weeks from today. Yeah. And I know...
Well, I know they have to be playing really good hockey to get in. And I understand. Good momentum going in, mm-hmm, and, you know... That all will play a part in the playoffs, but it's that logjam is right now. They're four back of Tampa Bay, who's in the third position in the Atlantic Conference. I don't think that they end up getting there. I think they're going to be a wild card team. And right now, it's Ottawa at 62, the Wings at 61. There's two teams at 60, Columbus and Boston. Yes, it is a logjam, but they are... I mean, they're right in the thick of it.
And Boston lost one of their best players, maybe for the season, in McAvoy.
Yeah.
Michigan has Final Four potential. Wings and Pistons are on the edge and might not get in. Sparty will lose in the first round like usual. That's from Mike.
I would be shocked. And I think there'd have to be a catastrophic injury or injuries for the Pistons not to get in.
I agree. I don't think Michigan has Final Four potential, but in college basketball, I mean, there are a lot of teams lately that have made Final Fours. You know, how the hell?
Greg, you got to get hot at the right time, right?
Yes, and I heard that about Wisconsin. They're getting hot now at the right time. Now's not the right time. It's February.
The right time. No, it's like the other team in the
March is the right time. A month from now is the right time.
The other team in the Big Ten that's getting hot right now is Maryland. They're playing really good basketball.
By the way, just one thing: like people talk about, it's about the matchups. Remember, not the death, but. This is a single elimination basketball tournament with 18 to 20-year-olds. It is a random number generator more than anything else based on the potential that you have.
Right. There are some people, I have a friend of mine who thinks it's the worst way to decide a championship in sports because it's...
It's what makes it unique.
I know.
I'll say this to Greg. I want to see if Greg agrees with this. Now is the time that you get yourself overseeded and then you get upset in the first round of the tournament. Meaning you're... You're peaking too early. Or
right,
the trendy thing. I like this team. Look, watch out, they're my sneaky 3-seed Final Four team, and then they get bounced, and you're sitting there, and your bracket's on fire.
Yeah.
Our telephone number, 248-539-9797. It's time for news, and here's Heather.
Well, a man who tried to commit an armed robbery at a Macomb County donut shop was shot and killed by a store employee. Officials say a man in his 30s walked into Golden Donuts on Harper Avenue with a gun demanding cash. And that's when an employee drew his own gun, fired one shot at the suspect, who was able to drive away from the scene, but then later passed away at the hospital from his injuries. Police say they interviewed the employee.
Self-defense.
He was released. Yeah.
Good for him.
Delta is offering $30,000 to passengers who were on that flight that crashed and then flipped upside down at the Toronto airport. A spokesperson for the company, for Delta, says that this is a gesture that has no strings attached and does not affect everyone's rights. All the passengers on board did survive, 76 passengers, 4 crew members, and they also say all 21 who were injured have been released from the hospital, which is great news. One passenger, Brian Erickson, talked to Good Morning America basically about the whole experience, the terrifying moments leading up to the impact, and then also about that $30,000 offer.
I'm sure, yeah.
It sounds...
$30,000 to anybody would be extremely helpful.
Yes. Everything surrounding that crash is still under investigation. San Antonio star Victor Wembanyama is expected to miss the rest of the regular season after he was diagnosed with a blood clot in his right shoulder. He was actually diagnosed with deep vein thrombosis after returning from the All-Star game. Sources say he is beginning treatment immediately, and the Spurs are working under the expectation that he is going to make a full recovery, and they say it's even possible that he could play this summer for France in the European Championship if he chooses to.
Good.
And it sounds like treatment for this is blood thinning medication,
yes,
and it's recommended that those in contact sports avoid playing while using this medication because there's a heightened chance of bleeding.
Right. Yes. So. And I think it's 6 months that he is out for sure. Like, it's non-negotiable 6 months that you've got to be on this medication, and then it's a matter of being able to get off of it.
Yep. Three very, very pricey vehicles belonging to new Miami quarterback Carson Beck and his girlfriend were stolen in South Florida on Wednesday. Police are currently looking for Beck's Mercedes and Lamborghini, but they do say
he's a college quarterback, right?
He is. Mm-hmm. He is 22 years old. They say an SUV belonging to his girlfriend has been recovered. The theft comes, obviously, about a month after he transferred to Miami following 5 seasons at Georgia. And it's unclear who stole them or why. I mean, besides the fact that they were very nice vehicles. But it does come at a time where other, and I don't know if you want to consider him a high-profile athlete, but other high-profile athletes have been, have been targeted.
So his girlfriends.
Yeah, she is.
Girlfriends.
Yeah.
You said S? Girlfriends?
Oh, yeah.
His girlfriend.
Well, they're twins. The Cavendish. I know.
Don't you think they switch?
I know. He's only going out with one of them.
Twins.
Is his Holly, I believe, is her name?
Hannah. Yes. Maybe that Holly's the other one. I don't know. The twins.
I know it was an H.
An Amazon driver has turned himself in after he was caught on camera running over a pedestrian in Baltimore and then just taking off. It happened on Tuesday evening. There's video. You can see this Amazon driver waiting at a stoplight. Light turns green, pulls forward, doesn't see that there's a woman crossing the street right in front of him, hits the woman, drags her, and then drives over her. The driver did get out, checked on her for about 30 seconds, and then got back in the truck and took off. Several witnesses were there, made sure this woman was okay, which she is. She's going to be fine. But the driver no longer works for Amazon and is facing charges of negligent and reckless driving. Everything is still under investigation, though, because they do say that there was a the crosswalk was not... Mm-hmm. There was no walk signal, so she was crossing at the wrong time as well. But that also says he was over the line at the stoplight. Anyway, he's out of a job facing charges.
All right. Thank you very much, Heather. 248-539-9797. Coming up next, the Four Nations face-off. How much can the NHL get out of this? And is the NBA jealous? 97 won the ticket.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants Bankers are attentive. They're going to take the time to get to know you and build a financial plan that fits your unique situation and why can I tell you this? Is because it's exactly what they did for me. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We've had a lot of discussion here on today's show regarding Michigan, Michigan State, the Pistons, the Red Wings, as they come off of this break that they've had for the last 2 weeks. Obviously, the big matchup tonight, Michigan versus Michigan State. And it would be, obviously, we want to get a chance to talk about all of that. So if you want to get in the conversation, again, that number, 248-539-9797. But the four nations matchup, obviously the U.S. lost last night in overtime. The best player in the world scored a goal in the first overtime to win it for Team Canada. So props to Team Canada, tip of the cap. They did what they had to do to win that tournament. Obviously the U.S. won last Saturday night and it was emotional. All those emotions carried over into, you know, people wanting to see and watch that game last night. But Stoney, let me ask you this question. There's a bump in regards to the amount of people that were watching that from Saturday to last night. Now, we don't know what the exact numbers are. We won't know that for a couple of days. But I got to believe with the hype going into it here in the United States and in Canada, there was more people watching that than they did Saturday night because of the way Saturday night played out.
Oh, yes. And you mentioned the hype. Everybody was talking about it for the, you know, few... Since Saturday night, really. Right.
Will there be a bump in regards to the amount of people that will now carry that over to the NHL season and be watching their respective teams?
I think there might be a bump watching their respective teams as long as they're, you know, in playoff contention or a good team. When it comes to like the average sports fan who really doesn't care that much about hockey, I don't think it'll be a significant bump. I think maybe in the playoffs, you know, if you get some marquee players playing in the playoffs that are on national television, you know, players that you mentioned, McDavid and obviously some others, McKinnon, those guys, you know, on our team, Austin Matthews, and even, you know, for a lesser extent, you know, Hollebuck and things like that, names that became familiar to the non-hockey fans, they'll probably watch for the playoffs.
I think there was a risk, obviously, in doing this, and then the risk is injury and all of those different things.
Yes.
But in regards to the bump that they may get, it may not be as big as maybe NHL, you know, the brass were hoping, but it was, I think the hit that the NBA is taking right now is probably greater than the bump hockey will get.
Probably. You know, where hockey gets an advantage as far as the bump up, there are people in the sport, particularly the Tkachuks, that the average sports fan
didn't know the name.
Right, exactly. And I don't know how much of the pregame you watched. They did a great stuff with his dad and,
sure,
you know, all going out to pizza where close to where they grew up, which was in, well, his father grew up in Boston. They grew up all over the country because of where Keith played. But yeah, there's a lot of those guys will become more mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's good. And it's good for them, you know, and endorsements and things like that.
Well, yeah. And then, you know, we heard, you know, in the last couple of days, especially because of the uniqueness of it, it was national pride. Mm-hmm. How much this meant to those that were playing for Team USA, for Finland, for Sweden, but and obviously for Team Canada. But it is, I think there's a stark difference in what we just saw from the hockey world versus what we saw from the basketball world.
Oh, it's not even close. I mean, because they both were over the same period of time to a certain extent. They were both labeled as exhibitions.
Yes.
But, you know, comparing, you know, what the Four Nations to NBA All-Star Weekend, there's not even a comparison. It's like comparing like bowling balls to tennis balls.
Or, Stoney, it would be like comparing if the Summer Olympics were up against the NHL All-Star Weekend.
Right. Pretty much.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Or a FIBA World Tournament.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. The NBA, the ratings did come out for their All-Star Weekend.
They were horrible.
They were horrible. And we've talked about this, the waning interest in the NBA. And part of that is, you know, here in Detroit, right, we haven't had a whole lot to cheer about. Now we do. And part of what makes this Pistons team unique and special is the turnaround from last year. But it's also the fact that they play every single game like it does matter.
Yeah.
You don't get that in the NBA.
No.
And the NBA All-Star game didn't matter.
Correct.
And they played as such.
Right.
These Four Nation face-offs and matchups clearly mattered to all teams involved.
Look, I think everybody's got their favorite theory about why the NBA is less than it has been previously. My theory is that the NBA is actually having a bit of a problem that the NHL once had, maybe still does have, is that the parity in the NBA, especially in the playoffs, is greater than it's ever been, meaning the regular season is maybe not as meaningful. And there's you can do damage in the NBA playoffs as a lower seed. Maybe not as much as the just get in factor as the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Not even close.
But I think there's more parity in the playoffs. And just like the NHL, the Stanley Cup playoffs, there is a noticeable uptick in intensity in the playoffs.
Correct. Look,
the NBA playoffs are great, but that does come at a cost of the regular season.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's not kid ourselves. As much as we talk about hockey, and I love it, there are some regular season games where I don't say teams mail it in per se, where it's not that good of a product. I mean, we saw it here for the Red Wings for a while, where they would basically sleepwalk through games, and it was not very good. Now, obviously, it's different because it's more physical, but the NHL has some of that, too. Not nearly, don't get me wrong, as much as the NBA does, but it's
well, the issue with the NBA, for me, is what I just mentioned about the Pistons. It feels like every possession matters. JB said that, you know, coming out of the break, that every position was going to matter for a very young team, an inexperienced team for postseason play. They were going to have to concentrate and focus on every single possession,
right,
to either stay in the playoff hunt, maybe better their odds at a better matchup, or going up the standings to get to the postseason. Whereas in the NBA, if you're watching an NBA game,
mm-hmm,
why even tune in until there's maybe 3 minutes left in the game? Because it doesn't feel like, across the NBA, that every possession matters. In hockey, you can't go out there and, you know, the possessions are a little bit harder to define, but there's intensity every time that puck is moving on the ice.
Well, part of that with basketball, to defend the NBA to a little bit, we've seen in college basketball too, basketball has turned into a game of runs. Where it used to be, if a team was up, you know, double digits, 15, and even in the first half, you pretty much knew who was going to win the game. Now it goes back and forth so much because of the three and, you know, that type of stuff.
Pace of play has increased.
Right.
Therefore, increased possessions.
Right.
Therefore, John, possessions, each one singular possession does lose value.
You're right. There are more possessions now. We have some ticket texts. I think you guys are forgetting, when we were talking about who's going to go the furthest or the least far, I think you guys are forgetting the Red Wings have been the number one team in hockey since Todd McClellan has become the coach. It's a good point. And if they don't make it, who's going to take the blame?
If they don't make it, who's going to take the blame? It's going to be Steve Yzerman.
Exactly, for not making the
coaching change earlier.
Well, right, or even before the season.
Right or wrong, but that's going to be the perception.
Yes.
Is that, hey, he waited until after the holiday to make that change. And if he had made it a week earlier, would they have two more points at this point?
Maybe.
If he had made it 2 weeks earlier, where would they be at this point?
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Paul in Clinton Township. What's happening, Paul?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking the call, guys.
Hey, how you been?
I'm really good. I think, as I was talking with your call screener, you know, the difference in the perception of the NBA to the NHL is effort, or in the case of the NBA, the perceived lack of effort.
Right.
And in a lot of cases, it's pointed out by their own people. Just go listen to the NBA crew with Barkley and them. They talk about it regularly. And when you compare it back to, you know, as Pistons fans, when you compare the eras of the NBA that we've watched in the past, there is clearly a lack of defensive effort in today's game compared to what you had before, as opposed to hockey, even in your average hockey game. I mean, if you go out there and mail it in, you can actually get hurt playing the sport if you're not playing it with the same intensity as the other team you're going against. I mean, you don't see very many nights where teams are just mailing it in the NHL. What you see is a lack of or a difference in talent level. Whereas in the NBA, and again, like I say, whether it's real or the perception, is you're watching them truly float up and down the court, and you don't see a lot of defensive effort throughout the majority of the game. And I think, you know, I can't speak for everyone else. For someone that grew up during the Bad Boys and going to work Pistons and the other, you know, how the league was at those times, to me, they've, you know,
You are right about that as far as intensity and defense, but a lot of it is predicated on the style of play with the three-pointers and things. Because I think the players are actually, for the most part, better than they were back in those days that you talk to, Paul. And the other thing is, let me ask you this, just, you know, philosophically, would you rather watch the way the NBA is now with all the threes and all that, forgetting about the effort part of it, or trying to take yourself away from the 0-4 team where you're watching the Pistons and other teams they're playing struggle to score 85, 88 points a game?
Well, okay. I'm trying to take the Pistons part out of
right.
it. Because, you know what I mean? I put it this way. I watched more NBA basketball in the past by far than I do now. And I don't know if – I can't tell you 100% if it's because the Pistons have been so bad.
Yes.
I've been lost. I can tell you for myself personally, I go back to the 06 playoffs, the finals – when Miami was playing Dallas. And if you go look at the free throws
yes.
with Dwayne Wade, and you look at how that they kind of lost me, David Stern, right around that point in time with what they were doing with the NBA. And then it just progressively got worse. And, in all honesty, my NBA watching came down to watching the Warriors and Steph Curry and – hate watching, hoping that LeBron, whatever team he was on, would lose.
I truly
didn't care.
But LeBron is one of those guys, at least for the most part, maybe not defensively all the time, but he gives a lot of effort and he doesn't, you know, just mail it in. All right, 248-539-9797. McJesus, they call him. And he was the savior for
he delivered.
Canada, yes. Resurrecting them from a possible embarrassment.
He was walking on water.
Actually, frozen water.
Skating on frozen water.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Let's get back to the phones and talk to Ken. You're 97 on the ticket. What's up, Kenny?
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
Well, the biggest thing I got out of the games this weekend was that the hockey players could have very easily mailed it in as well. And instead, they decided that they were going to take it upon themselves and they wanted to be at this game. They wanted to be in this tournament.
Well,
they weren't going to miss it. Where the NBA kind of took the weekend off and, you know, whoever showed up.
Well, let's be fair for a second. If the hockey was a typical all-star game or the NBA was, I don't know, U.S. versus Canada versus, you know, Europe or whatever, I think the intensity levels would have evened out a little bit, if not a lot.
I don't disagree with that. But I do know that week got me tuned up for watching hockey for the rest of the season versus the NBA. It's kind of like watching Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Well, you know, you're right, Ken. You're right, because a lot of people have said that the NBA, you know, soap opera, the off season, is more interesting than the actual playing of the games.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait for the regular season to start back and get ready for playoff hockey. that got me worked up.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Tomorrow.
And go ahead, Greg.
I was going to say, to the NHL's credit, they did what they did. And to the NBA's demerit, they did what they did.
Exactly.
Right. And it goes to, well, one of the callers we had before the break talked about the, you know, you can, you know, to put it in my terms, you can lollygag in an NBA game and it's not going to matter. Now, it may matter in terms of scoring and defense. You could play, you know, the Matador defense and you can ole. You're not going to get hurt. If you do that in hockey and you just, you know, lollygag up the ice, you're going to get your head knocked off.
Oh, especially if you have your head down.
You're going to get drilled. Mm-hmm. And that's part of it. You don't see it in football because there's a risk of getting your head knocked off. Hockey, there's a risk of physical harm. In basketball, I could jog down the court.
Yeah.
I don't have to play defense this time. I can save myself for the next possession or for the fourth quarter.
I mean, it was a brilliant idea what they did because, and let's be honest, in the past, even before they went 3-on-3 with a mini tournament for the All-Star game the last few years, we went through a series of All-Star games, you know, where the scores were like 12-10. I mean, there was no hitting. There was nothing. It wasn't hockey. So they did this instead, and it was absolutely fantastic.
A huge success.
Now, you mentioned, we talk about the difference between the NBA players, the culture, and as opposed to the NHL. P.K. Subban, who does a lot of NHL work for ESPN, former defenseman for the Canadiens and the Predators, the Devils, a few other teams, he had this point of view on it.
Spot on.
And what's real is effort.
Yeah. And to that point that I was trying to make is you can't go through the motions in hockey. You can't go through the motions in football.
No.
You can go through the motions in basketball and still win a game.
Yeah.
And it's boring. And it's hard to watch. And a lot of people are turning the TV off.
I know. And I think a lot of it is that. And a lot of it's the style of play. People don't want to see... People are okay with three-pointers. They just don't want to see the average NBA team taking 45 to 50 of them a game. And, you know, and I've seen, you know, how can you change that? Do you make the three-point line further back? Or I've even seen somebody suggest you put a quota on how many three-pointers a team's allowed to take, which would be interesting. Each team's only allowed to take 30 three-pointers a game.
Yes, yes. Oh, well, you've made that by halftime.
Yeah.
No more threes.
Would that be make a better product? I don't know. It would certainly have more post play.
Sure. Yeah, and there would be more.
Do you save
more
your
of an offense that would be run versus just 1-on-1 or, you know, trying to create your own shot and shoot a three?
Yeah. Well, that's the worst part of it. I have no problem. Like when the Warriors, when all this stuff started, it was basketball. Was a beautiful game. I mean, play the right way, as Larry Brown used to say, because they'd pass the ball around and they'd hit the open guy and hit a three. Now, though, it seems there's, maybe I'm exaggerating, it seems like every other three is a guy just dribbling up half court, goes to the top of the key, whatever, and then, you know, takes a three whether he's contested or not.
Or shooting it from the logo.
Right. That is what we don't want to see. Well, I have no problem with threes, but, like, work to get a three. And I know the pick and roll is very difficult to defend, and that's part of it as well. And I just wish that, you know, the whole thing with the three-pointer, it's analytics. Three is greater than two. I understand that. But why don't they figure that out on defense? Why don't they defend the three better, like it's worth more? Drake, you're a 97 on the ticket.
Hey, yeah. So I think if you reduce the amount of games in the NBA, it brings more. I know the league won't do it because they're taking money out of everybody's pocket, but if you reduce those games, they mean more. Like in college, I believe they play like 32 games. I'm not saying as drastic as 32, but cut that down from 82, and I think that definitely would bring intensity, bring more passion, bring meaning to those games night in and night out. Guys won't take a night off, but like I said before, I don't think it'll ever happen because it would take too much money out of the pockets of the NBA itself, but you got to bring meaning back. These guys know that most of these games don't matter, especially like you say, in the first half, they don't mean anything. So That's just my opinion on that.
I agree, but you could say that about baseball. You could say that about, look, people are bitching at some people that football now looks like they're going to go to 18 games. They think that's too much because of the injuries, not because of the style of play. Right?
Yeah.
248-539-9797. All right, coming up next, a Javi Baez controversy. Mm. We'll explain. This is a little different. 97 won the ticket.